Final.
Hello.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm ready. Hello, and welcome to the Even Me podcast with your girl Kim and
More Speaks.
And today we're going to talk about our topic today is Even When I Lose, I Win. Want me to start it off, Anthony?
Go right ahead. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm getting into my confidence season now. I'm sorry. So, many times, this came to me as I am on this journey with me and God and me. So it's Kimberly, God, Kim. So all of us on this journey together with the Holy Spirit. And being that this week was Holy Week, is Holy Week, you know, my mind is in a different frame. And you think about, you know, a lot of different stuff, because I take in what people say I need to change, or things about me that they don't like. And some of the things that have, you know, caused me to act the way I act or do the things that I do happen because of the losses, right? So I was sitting back and I was thinking and I was writing, you know, my you know, words out to God the other day. And I was like, man, even though everybody said you losing, this is happening to you, even when I lose, I win. That means God tell me no on something. He protecting me for something else. So, you know, I thought about, like, just going back, you know, Anthony, how much I wanted to be in Rosharon, buying the house in Rosharon. I was so determined on buying that house in Rosharon. I argued about it, cried about it, got with the sales team about that one house. So God said, nah, I got better for you. I was like, you don't have better. This is what I want, God. You told me you would bless me. I did all the work to get here and to have the sales guy steal it from my salesperson to give it to they people. I'm, you know, I was upset, but I looked at it, you know, thought about it. Okay. The house was 1400 square feet. I was in an apartment that was bigger than that, 1465. So it was 1400 square feet. The house was like, they wanted 280 for it. And it was only 3-bedroom. And it was so many people in the community. I had so many neighbors in front of me, behind me, on side of me, and everything. And I was devastated when that happened. I had my earnest money and everything. But I let it go. And I was like, okay. Just, you know, God, I don't know why you got me so hyped up to get a house when at first, a year ago, I couldn't even get an apartment. Now I'm at the stage to buy a house when 6 months prior to this, they said I wouldn't be able to get a house. Wasn't going to be able to get a house because my credit wasn't where it needs to be. But anyway, fast forward, I was able to do all those things. And why are you taking something from me? That's a cut that's taken. And somebody told me, well, man, if you're having this many problems, I'll leave it alone. Just stay in your apartment. It's good. It's not giving you any issues. I was like, no. God has it in my heart that this a house is for me. But it was through the same builder. So one of my coworkers brought me out to Alvin. And I was like, I don't like that house. It's not brick. It's wood. And I don't like that. I sat down and thought about it. Okay, now God, if this is for me, it'll meet all my criterias, right? So when I called the salesperson, the house, 1,700, almost 1,800 square feet, 4-bedroom, 270. What? I don't have a front neighbor at all. I'm looking at the park, and there's only, 200 houses in the neighborhood versus 1,800 houses, all these people. And I was like, okay, God, you told me no on that one because that you didn't want me to settle for less. You wanted me to wait till I got more for less. And I was like, that comes to everything, God. Sometimes when people think you losing, you're really winning. I mean, the cuts has to come for you to win. And I've been cut so much. But I allow Satan my own conscience, my mind, and saying, oh, something I did wrong is bad. And it pushes me in a corner each time that, you know, I have to leave a situation or you know, something happened here. And really, it's me leveling up. I have to stop thinking of it's a bad thing. Even when I lose, I win. I lost this, but I gained this. So that's my new concept in 2024. Even when I lose, I win.
Yeah, so I was thinking, I know when you sent me the topic, I thought about it and then I made fun of you, but but I mean, I started thinking, you know, in my journey, not so much like buying a house or anything like that, but in my career at work, you know, I took a big loss. So, you know, I took a position for a title thinking that it was going to elevate me, but all it did was just help me build myself to move into the role, because the first role that I had, I mean, I would have been making money years ago, you know, better money, just to say that, you know, but I basically took more money in the upfront, but ended up losing money because, you know, that other position had commission and more headaches here when I'm, well, not here, but at my last position, because I was over a bunch of technicians and things like that. And I mean, look at my gray hair. Like, I didn't even have gray hair when I became a supervisor. No kidding. Like, for real. And I think in the long run, I ended up winning, because now I'm in a position where I can not say retire, but if I decide not to move into like a management position, I'm good where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But of course, everybody wants more money. So of course, I'm going to look for, you know, more money, you know, hopefully within this department, and just move up a little higher, or, you know, move up the next step in this role. But I think now, for the last 2 years, I can feel like one. I mean, I do a lot of work, you know, a certain way. I do more clerical work, mm-hmm. you know, now than I ever did before, because now it's like I'm talking to owners, I'm talking to lawyers, I'm talking to way more people than I did before. But I did have, you know, a bunch of techs that I was dealing with. So I dealt with them, I dealt with customers at that point. But I feel now I'm less stressed. I do maybe half the amount of work in the field as I did before, but now I'm like, I think I'm not going to say in cruise control, because anything can happen, mm-hmm. you know, from now to tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. God can say, you know, it's your time, you know, come with me. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm in a position to where, I don't know. I've never said, I said this before, maybe one time when I was going to start another business. And basically I told people that I was going to retire, and I basically was, I was going to just like quit. And, you know, this is when I was single, I was going to quit and just do my own little business and just move on. But I think now at this point, I feel that I could retire, you know, in this position and just keep going. But I think now, you know, it's the best time for me to like elevate myself and maybe even open up a business, like I said I was going to do, you know, try turn one of these stupid hobbies I have into a moneymaker. Like my fiance tells me that I got like 50 million hobbies. Not one of them's paying me. So that's how I feel about that. I think it's a good comment. You know, that quote is a good quote. And I think if you see it, if you're optimistic, you see it with the glass, you know, half full, mm-hmm. and not half empty. And you see, like in your case, you won. You know, yeah, you lost the house you wanted, but you gained a better one. You know, and when we was house shopping, you know, house shopping was horrible, because like it was during COVID and like we couldn't win for losing. There was so many houses like we put bids on, we put earnest money, and it's like people would come with like cash or something and like buy it pretty quick, or you know, people from California, you know, they sell their little 900 square foot home mm-hmm. for like 400 grand and come over here, you know, and buy a house outright because they can do it. You know, who's not going to take a cash offer versus dealing with a whole mortgage company? You know, yeah. someone's going to take a full cash offer. So, I mean, I got it. And then I felt fortunate because in my case, my cousins out in Delaware, you know, they were house shopping. And I mean, I think I went through like 13, 14 houses that we thought maybe were what we're going to want. But we put earnest money on maybe like 10 of them and ended up getting neither one of them till we got this one. But with them, they did it like 20 plus houses. Like they got turned away so many times as soon as they were trying to put money out. And this is like Delaware. That's the taxes are better, but you know, the everything costs more money. So I think, you know, in the long run, you know, you and me both came up on top with our situations, you know, but I mean, everybody's situation is different too, you know, because they may have lost a few, but not, they're not in the winning side of it yet. You know, we actually won.
Mm-hmm. They see that, yeah, they may not see the winning side of it. You know, they may, this is the thing I do understand, that sometimes God has to step, you know, knock us back because some things we do. And I see it every day, like this self-absorbed people, you know, all about the flashy, you know. And this is, I like this story, Bill Gates. Right, billionaire, right? This man held up a line for a 50 cents coupon. You got billions of dollars and you held up a line for a 50 cents coupon because he know his priorities are straight and he knows what it's like to lose and what it's like to gain. Now some people be like, oh man, I'm going through this and I went through this. Sometimes God have to shake you up, baby. I mean, you know, all these people, oh, you know, I got to wear the new Tory Burch or whatever, or I got to be riding in the new, you know, Maybach or whatever it is. But where is your priorities? Where is your heart? Who's first? Because they said we will see what they talked about in the beginning of the Bible, right? When they idolized the false god, that daggone golden cow. That's pretty much what's going on now. And going back to your story, you say you made less money. I mean, you could have been making more money because you took it for a title, man. And I thought that just went through my mind. Sometimes we take things for a title. That could be a job, a marriage, or boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever it can be. We take stuff for, take the title and not really get into our purpose. This may have been your purpose, but you went for that title, you know what I'm saying? That really aged you in the long run, and it wasn't, you know, self gratification. So I say that to say that, you know, I don't want anything for a title to say, oh, Kim such and such, or Kim MD, or Kim. I don't want that. If it's not in my
purpose, I would want an MD title.
I mean, come on now. You want to see people cut open and all that kind of stuff? I don't think. But it, you know.
Good with that.
No, I'm not good with that. But I want to work in my purpose. And I know I'm missing my purpose. So I have to step back and say, okay, I'm not trying to keep up with this. This is the thing that got really, really have kind of came over me is, me and my boss had this deep conversation, and I think this is the deepest conversation he ever had with me. And he said, you know, we can go get all the fancy things, all the titles we want, right? But what are we doing for God? Now, we can say we read the Bible. We can say, oh, God know my heart. We don't go to church, but I go to church, you know, every so often, or, you know, whatever. But there's more to it, because are you living your purpose what God wants you to live? Because there's things that God wants us from our experience to share with other people. And when we hindering that because we don't want to talk about it, or I'm still not healed, how you gonna heal? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, people was like, oh, you've been through this, you've been through that. Oh my God, I didn't know I would lose my mind. Or somebody, you know, told me they mom did lose their mom and forgot about her kids. And that was hard for the kids. I didn't. You know, it was the grace of God. And one thing I can say, when people say you got a praying grandmother, I had a praying grandmother that brought me through this. Almost, she was preparing me for this, pretty much to say. She prepared me as a young child that you're going to run into some situations, but how you deal with those situations. I used to withdraw. I would act out. I would let things go through my mind. You know, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. But wait a minute. God said, okay, I cut this from your life, Kim. Do you see how much better you are? I'm so much better than certain people he cut out of my life, right? And I didn't think I was going to be better without them. I just thought that I needed to have this person. I needed to have this relative in my life, but I'm so much in relief. And it does feel bad because I'm that type of person that's caring and don't want to lose anything. I mean, I have to lose to win. And I still got some things and people to release out of my life. And I'm just like, okay, I'm watching and waiting. Okay, you disrespect me on that one. Okay, I'm going to laugh about it. I got you. Let me see if you're going to correct yourself. Because the one thing I don't do, I don't apologize. I may have said that before. I don't apologize unless I'm going to correct what I did. I'm going to make an effort to correct what I did. I hate to apologize. Don't apologize to me because you're going to do it again. You are you sincere about what your change is going to be? And then with chaos, if something is so chaotic and a person, this is the thing that gets me. People make chaos. And then when you question them on their chaos they done caused, they have a problem with you. Mm. So if you want to leave, bye-bye, sir or ma'am, because you caused the chaos. So God, cut it. Yes, it may hurt. It may feel bad. But Jesus, I couldn't have taken that part. If you leave my life and you walk away, good riddance. I don't wish you nothing, basically. I don't wish you no bad. I don't wish you nothing. But that means that you couldn't go on this journey with me. God had to cut it so I can win. And I'm seeing it because it's people that came in my life to benefit, to take from me, and they have benefited from me. And then they go off and leave. So what that teach me? It doesn't teach me to not be a caring person or not, you know, give wisdom to another person or knowledge to another person. That doesn't stop me. But I have to know that some people come to drain you. That's all they do. Some people don't even think they do that. And they do. Some people come to cause you harm. This is the thing. I was like laughing with one of my coworkers and I said, damn, you know, I work with all guys and you know, me being a single woman, sometimes, and this one here, we call him Wolverine. You know who he is. He always compliments me. And it's not a flirtatious thing, but he know it is. That's what I'm saying. God put in him to know that when somebody needs to hear that, I done had a terrible week. Everything is going on. I'm fighting. And that person just, hey, Kim, you're looking beautiful today. Hey, Kim, I like to see you smile. You know, something nice. You know what I'm saying?
I've never seen that dude mad.
Everybody
said anything about me, call him Wolverine. Like, mm-hmm. Like he's always like upbeat and like very, very positive. Oh yeah, we can do that. Oh, mm-hmm. That's nice. And you know, mm-hmm. Like I've never heard him say, well, why we do that? I don't like that. You know, he always sees like he's very, very optimistic. Because mm-hmm. I've asked him questions about other things and why he carries certain things in his truck. He's like, man, because, you know, if they don't do it, I'm just going to do it.
Yes, he's that way. I mean, and just having a conversation with him. And it doesn't have to be crazy.
Can I say this?
Yes.
That's the kind of person you need.
That's the, I'm true.
Maybe not Wolverine. I don't know.
No. That's my brother. No, not
Wolverine. I think someone like that, in your life mm-hmm. to be perfect, because he's an uplifting person. Mm-hmm. You know, when a positive person and a positive person gets together, mm-hmm. positive things come out. When a positive and a negative person come together, you still get positive things, because that, unless the negative person is the more dominant person, mm-hmm. I think that's where the issue will lie. Mm-hmm. But if a positive person is uplifting a negative person, that negative person is going to get to the point and say, you know what? I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm the one causing this. I'm the one doing this. You know, and then you get the third issue. Mm-hmm. Negative person and negative person. What happens? You're either going to make a positive baby or both of your life is just going to be horrible. And it happens, because mm-hmm. I've seen it. You know, when a negative person gets with a negative person, nothing good comes out of it, because they're either nagging each other mm-hmm. or they're either thinking something is going on, you know, underlying things, you know, we're both cheating, mm-hmm. you know, or I mean, they turn around. Maybe one person sees the other one so negative, they're like, well, I'm not that negative. I'm going to turn my life around. And maybe they change up. But I don't know. I've seen two negative people together, mm-hmm. two people that they get along together, but they're negative about everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes everything else negative. That's what I've seen. But, you know, like I said, maybe a change could come from that. I don't think so. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe a positive baby.
You're okay. Positive baby. Woo. My eyes really open big then. But no, it's just, this is my thing now going forward, you know. And I guess because I had this conversation last week and it was deep. It was deep. You know, how many times you gonna keep letting somebody come in and cut you? Well, you lose. You really losing, because you're not gaining, because you withdraw back in a corner. You're allowing them to take from you and take from you. It's like martyr comeback. Every time they got a hit, you know, the person got stunned and thrown back or whatever.
Bye.
Yeah. You know what? You're a butt. And no, but that's it. I appreciate, you know, the knowledge, you know, acknowledgement. When this is my thing. Friend, family, whatever. You don't have to call me every day. You don't have to call me every week. But do check on me, because this is the thing. I can't coexist with somebody who don't know I exist. Mm. Who pretend I don't exist.
That's a good topic.
There you go. Because I'm stuck this week? Oh, I seen it. But baby, they eviction papers are coming. And maybe they want them, those eviction papers. They want it. You know how some people, I ain't gonna pay no rent. I'm gonna wait till they serve me my papers. Hmm. Well, it's coming, because I thought about that driving home today. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to coexist with somebody that don't even think I exist. Well, I can't have an opinion. I can't have a conversation. You don't listen to me, but you go listen to the other person because they look exciting. And because I don't, wait a minute. I don't have to look exciting to you right now, because it's on the inside. Once God wants to reveal it, he will reveal it. But you want to see what's on the outside right there. Oh, they wearing the flashy stuff. They doing this. They in the club hopping and jopping and doing that. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. Do your thing. More power to you. Since I don't exist, we can't coexist. So,
but we said that before. I mean, mm-hmm. all these people with the flashy stuff or with these Instagram profiles, and you think they're like worth money. They're broker than a joke. I mean, half of it is all flaunts. You know, it's all for clicks and all likes. You know, it's not a real, you know, person. It's just a facade that we see, because it's the internet life. You know, this is the internet life. What you see out there, it half the time, I'd say 50% of the time, you know, it's half of what's really out there. Now, when you see people posting about food and things like that, okay, cool. But people that, you know, the flashy life, the flashy money, look at the little girl that was the mama was a real estate agent, and she had like she was like posting money, her mama's money, and then she was like posting in some of the vehicles from the houses of the people that the mama was trying to sell the house. They ended up getting in trouble. Like, this little girl got yanked off the internet for almost 4 or 5 years, and she ended up showing up like recently. And I mean, she's grown now, but the mama, you know, lost her job because she was posting in these, you know, billionaires' cars or millionaires' cars. I don't know which one it was, but I mean, it was all a facade. It was a little girl acting like she had money. You know, mm-hmm. the mama maybe gave her 2,000 ones. You know, and she was flaunting it, holding it up to her ear like a phone. But, you know, that's the kind of people you have to stay away from, you know, mm-hmm. anybody, because you don't want that type of person. Because if they're fake on Instagram or, you know, social media, they're going to be fake in your life, too. They're yeah. not the real ones. They're not the one that's going to, you know, lift you up. And I've been saying this for forever. You know, you need someone that's going to lift you up, you know, and get past that hump and not drill you back down or put you back in the hole or keep digging that hole, that cut. Like you said, they cut you. It is, you know, that wound is never going to heal because they're constantly doing something to open it back up. It's like peeling a scab every day. It's never going to heal. So that's what I said. You got to find someone who's going to uplift you, you know, like Wolverine.
Wolverine is so positive, and you know, and then other people that I've met recently, they're not flashy, but when I can have a conversation and we're talking about business, like I said, I don't want my grandkids to work as hard as me and my kids work, right? I want my grandkids to be able to go to school, go to college, and not really worry about nothing. Now, yeah, they do have to get a job to learn, you know, what it's like to work. I never take that away from them, but I want them in a position, the generational wealth, that they don't ever have to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's on both sides of my grandparents. They did that for my parents. You know, they got land on each side. They got land that my grandfathers and them worked. They, as farmers, they, you know, I've seen their feet was messed up, their hands and all that kind of stuff was really messed up because they worked so hard to obtain this land that, you know, even if my parents die off, I have, or my kids have, you know what I'm saying? So why not do the same thing that was done for me? And I like having conversation with people that we can talk about not going drink, not going party. I want to have a bank account. I want to still live like I'm living. I don't have to live. Have
a bank account conversation.
Yeah, I want to have like where I don't touch, and it got thousands and thousands, and that's just put up and for my grandkids, and businesses put up for my, you know, grandkids. Because this is the thing, everybody say you can't take money with you. True enough, you can't. But when somebody, me and my supervisor talked about it. When I leave this earth today or tomorrow, what do they have to say about me? What did I do to help make something better? Like, there's young women out here, young girls, right? I'm gonna say girls, that's going through trying times and tribulation. Young mothers. I was a young mother, and I press, and I like how my boys always tell me, "Mama, I'm so proud of you. I watched you, you know, work 3 jobs to make sure we was good, that we didn't live in the hood." You know, what they started off when I seen all that going on. I took them out of there. Now, you know, did they go back? You know, kids, boys gonna do what they want to do when they get grown. But yeah, they saw me work my butt off to make sure that they can live in a nice place. They can go to a nice school. And, you know, I want to be able to, if somebody looking in my pine box and say, you know what, Kim did help this, Kim helped that, you know, doing the prison ministry, giving back, you know what I'm saying? I want them to say that. I don't want to say, oh, she had the newest Mercedes, oh, she had that, because what it is, if my kids don't take care of it, the state gonna do it, right? Mm-hmm. I do want to give back. I do want to keep businesses going. So that's my whole mission. Just because I lose some people and lose some things really mean I'm still winning, because I've gained that plus 100 more.
Yeah, and that conversation that you had with your manager was deep, and I've heard that conversation before, and it's the way I took it at that point was, what did you do in your life at this moment or at this time that helped, you know, not just yourself, but helped something? What did you do to contribute to something in this life? You know, did you commit sins? You know, you didn't help. Mm-hmm. You know, did you make a way or make a path for your kids or your future grandkids to enjoy life? Like you said, your grandparents, you know, had beat up hands and feet because they were in the fields. They were doing what they were supposed to. They were farming there, you know. So like that, your mom, you know, or you know, significant others at that point could have a better life. Mm-hmm. Well, they did better for you, so you can have a better life. So like that, you know, everyone is putting their part to make the next one better. So like what you're putting into your kids right now is going to help for your grandkids at that point. But I tell you this, this next generation after your kids and my kids, mm-hmm, is going to be a generation that only works from home or does very minimal. These now do very minimal, you know. Generation Z or whatever.
I don't know, Gen Z.
You know, they already like at the point where, and we said this before, they're at the point where they feel like everything should be given to them. Mm-hmm. Which is not going to be given to them because, you know, some of this stuff has to, you know, they have to understand. You have to work. You have to fulfill something in your life right now in order to make the next life better or the next person better or the next generation that you're bringing up to this world. Mm-hmm. So this has been our conversation today with More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
And we are the Even Me Podcast. So check us out on our socials. They will be up.